This is WCNO Palm City, the good news station. Welcome to Wednesday Live, a production of WCNO Christian Radio, sponsored in part by Treasure Coast Christian Alliance. David wrote in Psalm 145, verses 11 and 12, "They tell of the glory of your kingdom and speak of your might, so that all people may know of your mighty acts and the glorious splendor of your kingdom." That's the vision of Wednesday Live, to edify, inspire, to comfort, to encourage, and to bless you. Let's see what God has in store for us today.
And good morning.
Hi, this is Keith Masters, a street witness.
There's Keith Masters. Let's listen to Keith, then we'll say good morning again.
I wanted to share with you the love of Jesus and to share with you from his word in the Bible. Right now, I'm going to read some scripture that allows us to let us know how much Jesus loves us and how much God loves us because he gave us Jesus Christ, who died on the cross for our sins. And we're going to start today with John 3:16. "For God so loves the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life." And we have to understand that God so loves us that he gave us his Son as a sacrifice for our sins to come to know God through his Son, Jesus Christ. In Psalm 103, verse 12, God tells us, "As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us." God does not want you to be guilty or to have guilt on your mind or in your heart. God wants to alleviate that from you and to know that he took those sins away from you. And with that, the guilt should be gone. Guilt is not from God. Guilt is from the devil. And he tries to weigh you down with guilt. In Isaiah chapter 43, verse 25, God says, I am he who blots out your transgressions for my own sake and remembers your sins no more. In John chapter 3, verse 17, "For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." This is to try and understand, to try and grasp the perfect love that God has for us by his Son being sacrificed for us. And that Jesus is real and that he is alive today. He rose again from the dead on the third day. His spirit is alive. His spirit lives in us. His spirit lives in me. His spirit, if you don't know him yet, can live in you. And all you have to do is ask him into your life and to know that he is the one that loves you and died for you. In John chapter 14, verse 1, Jesus said, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God. Believe also in me." Jesus said this. You believe in God, believe also in me. Jesus is real. It is through Jesus that we can have the relationship with God the Father. And no matter what you're going through right now at this minute, that you can always turn to Jesus and ask for help, and he will be there to help you. This is Keith Masters, a street witness, sharing the good news of Jesus Christ.
And good morning. Thank you, Keith, for that good word. Keith is a good friend of ours here. Amen. And he's always bringing people's attention back to Jesus Christ. And he is a street witness. He's right out on the street sharing the gospel, and that's great. Keith, we love you. Keep up the good work. And this is Wednesday Live, coming to you from WCNO in Palm City. And it is right now 11:04. Almost 11:05, and we have some awesome guests with us in the studio. Josh, you are from Calvary Chapel, And we also have Curtis, and Curtis is from Multiply Project. Multiply Project.
Yep.
Okay, let's get your mics all on here. There we go. Let's make sure, Curtis, check in. Say hello to us. Let's see if we've got you here.
Hello there.
There we go. That's good. And Josh?
Right. Yep, I'm here.
Okay, you're here. All right. And, of course, David is here this morning.
I think I am, yes.
Yeah, you are here for sure. Amen. And Karen, let's make sure you are able to be heard.
Here and fully awake.
Here. Oh, right. My. Can we vote on that? You know, we'll vote on that.
It's
11 o'clock. Do you do coffee in the morning?
I do tea.
Tea?
Yes. Tea has a pretty good amount of caffeine.
Oh, it does have caffeine. Yeah. Okay.
Black tea.
Is it like Red Bull tea or something?
No.
Nothing like that. Well, Josh, today was a day when youth leaders and campus leaders did something really special. Tell us about that and what took place on our campuses today.
Yeah, so today is National See You at the Poll Day, which is a really cool event. Started in 1990, so 31 years.
Wow, that's cool.
In Texas, where a youth pastor kind of got his students to go pray at the flagpole, outside of their school. And so every September, this happens all over the nations, all over the world, really, even in other countries, where Christian high school, middle school, even elementary school students plan to get to school about 30 minutes before the first bell rings and stand by their flagpole and pray for their school. And so it's a really cool thing that's really multiplied over the years as teachers, administration, students, parents, youth pastors all come together to pray for their campus. And so this morning was that day. And so we really got to do that. Curtis was out at Jensen Beach High School this morning. He could talk a little bit about that. And we had a bunch of our different schools in the area doing that this morning, praying for their schools.
Wow. All right. So as far as individual school reports, you were in Jensen, Curtis?
Yes, I was.
What happened there?
Well, so we basically met at the flagpole in front of Jensen Beach High School and just stood and just kind of hung out. And as students were getting there and approaching, talking, interacting, and then at around 7:50, we just started praying. And basically, it's just encouraging the students to intercede and pray for their friends, pray for their school, pray for their teachers. And what I like about it is it's really challenging students to take ownership of their faith, to take ownership of, man, we have a part in reaching people for the gospel, and prayer is a key part of that.
That's awesome. So that's visible. It's right out in front. Everybody coming and going can see what's going on.
Yep.
So
for it can be intimidating
for a young person.
You know, you see them watch their friends walk past and they're like almost shaking sometimes because it's a bold thing to stand up and be a part of it.
So we're talking about what, 15 year olds,
freshmen, 14, 15. So I met some students that were seniors, some were sophomores, I met a freshman,
okay,
a little bit of everything. And this year, unfortunately, I think because of COVID and because of what's happened in the last year, I think we had a smaller turnout than normal we would have. But, you know, if you have students coming together to pray, whether it's 5 or 50.
Oh, sure.
That's pretty cool.
Sure.
You know?
So students definitely came out. And so what would you say the turnout was approximately this morning at Jensen?
I think at Jensen we had probably about 10 to 15 students.
Yeah, nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with that. That's powerful. That's a witness. And in the past, it would have been probably double that or more, right?
Oh, totally.
Oh, we've had 50 or 60 there.
50, 60, yeah.
Really at Jensen?
Yeah, okay. And all the schools. We have in Martin County, we have a really, really good response for students to get out and do see at the poll and pray.
Fantastic. Josh, you've been involved in this in a while, right?
Yeah. So I'm involved with a ministry called First Priority. Curtis is involved with it as well.
Okay, First Priority.
And First Priority's goal is to help equip students to be student missionaries on their campus. We want them to view the public school campus as a mission field. We use that term a lot, 9-month mission trip. They're on a 9-month mission trip to their campus. And it's kind of funny because it's really a student in high school or middle school, if they're equipped, trained, motivated to reach their friends for Christ, they're really an indigenous missionary. They speak the language.
That's right.
They know the culture. And they have to be there legally, right? And they're ministering to an unreached people group. You know, if you consult the polls, somewhere between 85 and 90% of students on a campus in South Florida are lost. So it's a predominantly lost, unreached people group. We have indigenous missionaries in students, and so we want to equip them. And so we host these campus clubs every single week, and See You at the Pole is a big launch pad for us. But we host them every single week here in Martin St. Lucie County, all the way from the Keys to Titusville. There's about 250 schools that run these first priority clubs, and they're mission-oriented clubs. So it's not a Bible study, it's a mission meeting to say, how can we reach the people around us who are lost, who need to hear the gospel, who are living in brokenness? How can we call them from death to life in Jesus?
So for maybe parents that are listening today, grandparents that are listening, it's important to know that there are healthy options and clubs for a student to get involved in
on the campus. I love to encourage people that have kids or grandkids that are that age, because it's easy to kind of have an attitude of like, oh, they've taken prayer out of schools and all these things. I'm like, well, I pray in schools all the time. Like, there's still good things happening. I was talking to our executive director of First Priority, Chris Lane, a while back, a few weeks ago. And in 23 years of First Priority in South Florida, over 60,000 students have made a commitment for Christ in their public school.
Excellent.
So over how many years?
Over 23 years.
Mm. Wow.
60,000. You think those many kids heard the gospel not at church, not at an event, not at a rally. They heard it in a classroom. And that's what First Priority is doing. It's kind of South Florida's best kept ministry secret, I think.
Yeah. And also think about this. Think about the multiplication with that. So 60,000. Let's just say that 40,000 of those really took it seriously and go on. They end up getting married. They have a family. They multiply themselves by investing in other people. Now you're talking hundreds of thousands. So it's pretty exciting what God can do, and it's starting at the high school age.
That is absolutely tremendous. 60,000. That is a lot of kids. A lot of kids. And the kids seem to be a little more bold, I think, sometimes than parents and grandparents. You know, I mean, I've seen kids. They have influence. You know, kids have tremendous influence over their peers. And when you have a group like this that gives them a place to connect and a place to have an outlet for their faith, then it really is powerful. 60,000, that's fantastic. That is fantastic. So, you know, you said something that was kind of like it set off a bit of a buzzer inside of my head, because, you know, we look at what's happening in our nation, we look at what's happening in the world, and we do see that darkness is pretty active. I mean, it's like it's after our kids, it's after our families, our marriages, it's after morality, it's after our government, it you know, it's after our churches, it's everywhere. And we often will talk about what we don't have. This is really awesome to talk about what is going on and what God is doing and how people can support. So in the bigger picture, where are kids today? I mean, are we losing the war? I mean, it's awesome. You guys are out there front line. You're seeing God do things. But what do you see as far as the trend?
Well, I don't think we're losing the war. I think the war just looks differently.
The war is different. Okay.
The war is different. You know, my wife and I were talking about this. I've been in youth ministry for 31 years.
God bless you. That's awesome.
And you know, 20 years ago, youth ministry looked differently than it does today.
Yeah.
And students, the culture's changed. Everything's changed. Technology. And so I think students today are potentially hungrier than they've ever been.
Wow.
It's just how you approach that. And so we have to be creative, and we have to think like Josh said, we have to be missionaries. We have to go into a new culture, and we have to look at how do we reach them where they're at. And that's probably the biggest key that we have to do. And so one of the things I see in students is I see a hunger for real. They want what's real. Mm-hmm. And their truth is being compromised today. And so they want what's real and they want what's true. They really do long for it. And so we have to give that to them. They don't really honestly want all the fluff. Mm-hmm. They want the real deal. And so that's exciting because now you don't have to like throw in all these other stuff. You just, they just want the real deal. And what's beautiful about First Priority is we're empowering students to do the work of the ministry. It's not the youth pastor doing it for them, but this is the part I get excited about because it's a great model of what Jesus did with his disciples. Mm. We get to equip them, empower them, and we're just there to be the cheerleader. We're there to be the coach. We're here to be the to support them. Actually, not even the coach. We're here to be the what?
The equipment manager.
The equipment manager. Equipment manager. Josh and I just learned this.
Yeah. Equipment manager.
We're just handing out tools. They're the ones doing the ministry.
And so that's exciting.
Okay, so Josh, you said earlier that you pray on campuses all the time.
Sure.
Now we're talking about an army that's on the campuses that are actually missional, and they are accomplishing something. So where does this happen? How does this happen? I mean, I don't see this in the news. You know,
yeah.
I haven't caught this, you know, on the evening news anywhere. They're not saying, watch what, you know, great news, you know, we just had some kids. You're saying that kids are coming to Christ on our campuses.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Every year, hundreds, if not thousands in South Florida. Basically, how we work is we work under the Equal Access Law.
Okay.
Ronald Reagan signed that law into law in the 1980s. Pretty good president, I think. And the law basically says this. If there is a club for anything on a high school or middle school campus, if that school receives federal funding, then there can be a Christian club as long as it's student-run and student-initiated. Mm. And so under that equal access law, if there's a chess club or a Spanish club, then there can be a First Priority club on that campus. And so every year we have students that are involved in local churches that say, I want to make a difference on my campus. And we help them, you know, with the paperwork and everything. We give them some advice and they go and they start these clubs. Each club has a teacher sponsor, a student, at least one, usually more than one, student leader, and a mentor that usually comes from the local church, a youth pastor. Sometimes it's a parent or maybe even a college student that went to that school in the past. And the mentor is the equipment manager, like we just said, giving them
That's
the equipment
awesome.
That they need. The teacher is there to be the legal supervision to make sure nothing crazy happens. Mm-hmm. But the students run the club. So First Priority provides the curriculum. We use a strategy called EPIC, and it's an acronym.
Okay.
So it's equip, prepare, invite, and then connect. And basically, each week, there's a curriculum that goes along with one of those things. So on Equip Week, the students learn how to share their faith. We give them tools to communicate the truth of the gospel to their friends around them. On Prepare Week, it's a lot of prayer for their school. We'll give the students a little card with five empty slots, and we'll say, write down the name of five friends at your campus that you know don't follow Jesus, and we're gonna pray today for those five friends to come to a saving knowledge of Christ. Then on Invite Week, we bring in pizza if it's a lunch or after school club, or donuts if it's a morning club, and that's Invite Week. Invite your friends to come and see. And on that week, the only thing that happens is either a youth pastor, sometimes a student, or maybe a guest senior pastor gets up and shares the gospel with a clear invitation to respond on Invite Week. And so kids know if I bring my friend to Invite Week, they're gonna hear the gospel. And so it gives them that avenue to bring their friends to Invite Week.
Excellent.
And that's when we see a lot of decisions made for Christ. And then Connect Week, we teach the students that it's more than just having a relationship with Jesus. You need to be connected to a church. And so we highlight and celebrate our involvement. So First Priority is all about helping the church reach the campus for Christ and then connecting those who come to Christ back to the church. So that's the vision of First Priority. It's a little bit different than maybe a Bible club. I was involved in one of those when I was in school because this is very, very missional. It's all about reaching the campus with the gospel, but then plugging them into a church for discipleship.
So Who pays for the donuts?
are you offering?
I'm just wondering, yeah. who covers the cost? How does this work?
First Priority is an independently fundraising organization, and anyone can get involved that would like to contribute. They can adopt a school, they can help give, but it's all private donations. It's not any one church or denomination. We work across tons of different lines to connect churches to campuses. And so you can check out more information about that on the website. It's firstpriority.cc for campus clubs, firstpriority.cc. And there's tons of information. And I'll tell you, that's a great investment. If you're looking for a place where your earthly treasure can invest in heavenly treasure, to go on and just say, hey, I want to give. I can adopt a school. And you could pay for pizza for the whole year and know that once a month, more than once a month really, but at least once a month, the gospel is going to be proclaimed on that school campus.
With that, with those resources. So if somebody wanted to connect with $10 a month or something, can you just set up and give monthly and auto deduct? And this gives an, you know, because I often will hear someone say, I wish I knew how to make a difference. You know, and well, I go to church. I sometimes kind of feel like I'm just sitting there, you know, and I look, I see the news, I see what's happening around me, and I have a burden for that, but I'm not really sure how I can personally, well, you know, I can pray and I do that, but this is a practical way where you might be in your 80s or 90s, and you can still be touching other kids. You can be reaching onto a campus. And it's right here. It's in your own backyard. It's here in our state, and so you can make a tremendous difference that way. That is really neat.
Well, and giving is great, and if you want to do that, please do. But even just praying for these schools.
That's huge.
What I like to tell people is when you drive past a school, a middle school or high school, pray for the First Priority Club at that school. Just say, Lord, I know there's a First Priority Club at Martin County High School. You know, help those students to reach their campus with the gospel. That's a powerful way that you can partner with us as well. We live in a world, like we mentioned, that's broken, it's confused, there's darkness, and there's students who want to be that light on their campus. And I think when we can support them, even just through prayer, we see a powerful movement of God as students come to Christ. And I'll just say this too. We've done this for 10 years on the Treasure Coast. Mm. And Curtis kind of helped get it started about 10 years ago, and I kind of came in as well. And I will say this, one of the coolest things for me is going to Walmart or whatever and having a kid see my First Priority shirt and come up to me, a kid I don't even remember, and say, you preach the gospel at my First Priority Club and I got saved and now I'm connected at this church and I don't even know that story. There's adults now in our community that went to First Priority when they were in high school that their lives been changed by the gospel. And like you said, we don't hear about it. It's probably the best kept secret around town, and maybe we should keep it that way. I don't know. But God's doing some amazing stuff. And so we shouldn't look at the world and go, oh, it's all, you know, the next generation doesn't care. They care, but they just express it maybe in different ways.
So how many schools are without?
In Martin County, we're still looking for some help at Indian Town Middle School.
Indian Town.
And there's a couple in St. Lucie, but things are coming together. This year we launched in Brevard County. So there's a few schools starting up in the north part of Sebastian and up into the Melbourne area. So there's always room for expansion, and we're working on that. But before COVID, I would say we had a club at every school in Martin County, and now we're just working on kind of relaunching those at the beginning of this year.
So speaking of COVID, as pastors, we kind of can see what happened within our congregations, and, you know, numbers vary from church to church somewhat, but I know that there still is a large percentage of adults who have not really fully returned as to worship as they did prior to COVID. How does this affect the clubs, the witness, and ministry on the campus? And where are the kids with all this? I mean, we haven't had any kids come in and say, this is what's going on with our generation with COVID, you know? So where are we with this? How's this impacting youth ministry?
I would say this, and Curtis can weigh in too, but I think that the pandemic really helped for some students to clarify priorities in their life. I think a lot of them did struggle with like depression and stuff during this time. But I think it's given them a more vibrant hunger for truth in their life. You know, we live in a world where everyone has an opinion, and who knows who's right and who's wrong, what, you know, what's right and what's wrong. And students want to know the truth. They want to know what's right. And I think that if anything, the pandemic's really solidified that. Attendance wise, I don't know that it's really affected a whole lot of things other than last year, most schools were virtual. And so
right. It
was kind of hard to do first priority clubs. But we still got tons of contact from students saying, you know, we really can't wait to get back
to get back into it.
I think that's the thing is they're living through dark times, right? Mm-hmm. But they want the light. That they're more desperate for it in result of the light, of the dark times.
Yeah, excellent. That's true,
Curtis? I think also, yeah, totally. And I think also another big part of that was relationships. You know, we live in a day, I'm grabbing my cell phone right now, but this kind of drives the culture a lot of times.
The
and
phones,
I think a lot of students and young people are realizing, man, it's about relationships. And I know coming back, I've talked to a lot of youth pastors. They're saying, yeah, man, kids are back. You know, they want to be back. Ah. They want to be back together. And I think there was this connect of relationships are important. And we cannot let fear or other things get in the way of those relationships. And I think students are longing for that more than ever before. In fact, if you think about it, young people today in our culture, with all the access they have to technology and Facebook and Instagram and all this social media,
right,
they are the loneliest they've ever been in history.
Wow.
And so there, I think that was a really good connect for students to realize, you know what, relationships are important. And it's valuable. And so I think everybody I've talked to, youth pastors are saying, yeah, students are back and they want to be at youth group and they want to be connected. Awesome. So that's been exciting to see.
Awesome. Well, I love this mission because it covers all the bases. I mean, of what really matters. And you look at the Great Commission, it's go into all the world, you know, preach the gospel. And then you have making disciples, and first priority does all of that. You know, you send them back, they connect. This builds families, it builds the ministry of the local church, it brings believers together, not just in an age group, but as families. So it connects on all those different levels, which is really important. And I've always really loved the mission and the work of First Priority and what you guys are doing on campus. So did you hear from other campuses today in reference to See You at the Poll? What's the overall report? Was it similar to what we've seen local? Or
yeah, there was lots and lots of students out there today.
Praise God.
All over the place.
Praise God.
Taking a stand and praying and praying for God to make a move in their school. And I think this is for such a time as this, right?
That's awesome.
For God to start doing stuff. And these students are fired up. I was at Martin County High School yesterday meeting with their First Priority Club. We had about 15 kids come out to just kind of, this is really their first couple of weeks to start. And you could just tell, I mean, they were focused. They were taking notes as I was sharing, you know, the strategy and everything.
Wow.
They're ready to go and they're excited to see their campus change. And when they see their friends, you know, they have friends in previous years or whatever that have come to Christ, they know it works. They know it's important for them to be there and to be engaged in it. And so it's really cool to see that. And, you know, Curtis said something that really struck a nerve for me, which is, you know, these kids are the loneliest generation.
Yeah,
part of that is realizing that we have to reach them in a different way. And if you look at revivals all throughout history, there was a whole lot of the church saying, you know, the young people don't get it, the young people don't understand. And then someone figured out how to relate the gospel to that group and everything changed. You know, you think about the 60s and the Jesus movement,
right?
You know, the hippies just needed somebody to say, you cannot wear shoes in church. And all of a sudden they're writing some of the greatest songs of the whole world, you know, generation.
It's amazing. Yeah.
They just needed someone to figure it out. And I think that's what we should be praying for, is that more and more youth pastors and ministries can figure out that key to reach this generation, because they want it. I mean, we give youth groups a lot of fluff and games and lights and music, and I think that can be fun for its purpose. But the kids see past all that. They want you to treat them like adults. They want you to teach the Word of God. I often tell youth pastors, these kids are doing algebra. I can't do that. If they can do that, they can understand deep theological things. And we kind of water it down and we don't give them enough credit. They want to go deeper.
They don't want us to dumb it down too much, do they? I mean, they enjoy the games and the pizza and all of that. But when it comes down to it, they want to have something that's real. And it's awesome to realize that the gospel never loses that power to change a life, to that born-again experience just transforms you. And it's working with our kids today. The gospel is working today. It's working in the campuses, and that's quite great.
Yeah.
Well, we're down to like the last minute. Who's going to lead out in prayer just over our state? And, you know, one of you guys, since a leading to do that, let's just lift
I'll do
up.
It. Okay, yeah,
good
I'd
deal.
Love to.
Good deal.
Father, thank you so much for the fact that you are a loving God. You are a God who
thank you, Father.
Reaches down and wants to have a relationship with each and every person. And we want to pray for the students
thank
of
you,
Martin
Father.
County, Port St. Lucie County, Palm Beach County, Father, our state. We want to pray for families that they would seek you, that they would love you. Father, I'm asking Amen. In Jesus' name that you would put a hedge of protection around the hearts and minds of young people
Jesus.
Today, that they would see you for all that you are, and that they would
Amen.
Just fall in love with you and have a desire to know you and serve you, not out of obligation, not out of performance, but out of love for you, Father.
Amen.
And Lord, thank you for the opportunity that you've given Josh and I to invest in students' lives
thank
and
you,
to
Father.
Equip them and challenge them and encourage them to follow you and be missionaries on their campuses. And thank you for First Priority and what you are doing all over the state of Florida through First Priority. And I pray that you just continue to raise up students to have a vision for their peers, their friends, their teachers. Raise up teachers, Father, that have a heart for their students that would want to open up their classroom. And thank you, Father, for the youth pastors that are investing their lives in students. And I pray that you would just be with them. Thank
amen.
You for your goodness to us. And we love you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. That's awesome. Listen, brothers, come back and see us again, and let's keep the word out there. And it's a great word of encouragement when we can let our community know that God is on the move, God's working with our kids, and lives are being changed, and it's all good.
And can I just say this
sure.
too? If you want to follow First Priority on social media, you can see pictures almost every day of these clubs happening, and that could be an encouragement to people as well.
Cool. Fantastic, fantastic. Once again, the web address for
firstpriority.cc for campus clubs, firstpriority.cc.
Fantastic, fantastic. Well, it's been a blessing today to have Josh and Curtis with us. Thank you for bringing a good word and for just giving us that little update. And we'll look to put this on the calendar for next year as well. And we're going to continue to mark the progress of the kingdom as we're seeing the Holy Spirit bring people to the King. So it's quite awesome. Guys, have a great day. We're going to move on. We have another guest that's coming in. And we are so blessed that you guys joined us.
Alliance is a growing association of leaders from the business, civic, and ministry areas on the Treasure Coast of Florida. In these blessed communities, we reside, work, play, and pray together. Our mission is to encourage strong relationships among God's people through Holy Spirit-anointed fellowship. Leaders inspired to overcome barriers to Christian unity bring God's people together on the common ground of the gospel. For more information, visit us online at tccalliance.com or reach us at 772-324-9313. We have been able to broadcast the gospel because of faithful givers like you. Our fall prayer and share is coming up October 4th through the 15th, 7 a.m. to 6 p.m. Monday through Friday. And you know, we're not just raising financial support. We are sharing God's rich and expanding vision for the WCNO family. And we're bringing you the voices and the stories of many of our business and ministry partners. We will pray for you and air your praise reports. Get a head start by sending in the response card you received in our recent mailing. Or call us at 888-221-8990 and give over the phone. You are a blessing to us.
And we are continuing with prayer, not prayer and share. Prayer and share is coming. And we are actually going to be talking a little more about that if we have time to do that today. Prayer and share is coming. That's going to start on the 4th, run through the 15th. Yep. And that is the time of year where we come to you, give you an opportunity to call in. We have some great praise reports, prayer requests, and also we are looking to raise the budget for the next 6 months. So that is coming very shortly. It was great to have our friends from First Priority in with us earlier. And Dave, we now have a guest that I have not had the pleasure of meeting personally yet because I believe I was out of town.
You were out of town, and we were here and we were able to meet Teresa and the work she's doing with Safe Space and all those that are working with her. It's a phenomenal outreach, unique in its own way. Teresa will tell us more about it. But Teresa, how are you doing?
Oh, we're doing great. Thank you for having me. Good morning, everyone.
Oh, I'm glad you could join us. We're just so impressed with what God is doing through you and your staff in a very important area of service. And I don't know. You're going to throw me the interview opportunity?
Sure, go ahead.
Okay.
Well, I'm going to probably jump in at some point because I'm listening.
You're the manager and you're the guy at the board.
but we're talking about Safe Space.
Safe Space. Tell us a little bit about Safe Space. What your focus is, and then tell us about the event that you want us to know about.
Absolutely. Thank you. Well, Safe Space is a domestic violence services and programs agency. We were established in 1979 in Indian River County, and within 10 years, our programs and services had expanded to St. Lucie and Martin counties. We are the single source provider of domestic violence programs and services on the Treasure Coast. And this is very important to recognize, to be recognized by the community that we serve in the Tri-County area, because without us here, you would see hundreds, if not thousands, of adults and children who are victims to domestic abuse having to access those services outside of their residential area, which becomes a real problem and only increases the chance that they would stay in the abusive relationship if they don't have a safe space to go to. I think that what is important to know is that Safe Space is an emergency shelter in Martin County. We are now, by God's grace, able to open an emergency shelter in Indian River County. We had a group of funders that came together who are helping us accomplish that, and we're hopeful to have that emergency shelter open in January of 2022. But Safe Space is much more than emergency shelter. Through our outreach programs, and we have a really comprehensive array of outreach programs through which we serve our survivors of domestic violence, both adults and children, through a variety of ways. So we provide them with psychological and emotional support. We provide them with injunction for protection services, so legal services in order to gain restraining orders. We service them through our child protection investigation services, where we work with the Department of Children and Families to, in as much as possible, ensure that children remain with their non-aggressor parent, and that the children are not taken away from the non-aggressor parent and placed in foster care.
Wow.
And we also help our survivors gain gainful employment, educational goals, child care, medical services, and a plethora of other things. So a lot of what we do is accomplished through our non-residential programs, and all these participants receive all these services free of charge. We never charge a single penny for anything that we do to help victims of domestic violence on the Treasure Coast.
That's an awesome mission that's being well fulfilled, Teresa. And I, as I'm listening to you share, I'm thinking there may be people listening in today that would love to know more about Safe Space. Maybe the donations to help you continue this wonderful work, and maybe volunteers. Now, the last question, I'm sure you have volunteers that become involved with Safe Space.
Yes.
Okay.
So we do have volunteers that help us in a variety of ways, whether it be through special events and activities. We do run a beautiful program during the winter holidays, a Christmas Santa shop, where we bring in survivors to be able to shop for their children free of charge. Mm. So we make it a very special place for them to come in, and they don't have to spend a penny on anything that they get to be able to, so that their children may receive a gift on Christmas Day.
That's wonderful. How would people get in touch with you, and how would they find out about all the opportunities available, not just for volunteers, but for donations and for the special events that you have? And I know there's one you want to talk about today.
Right. So the best way is to access our website at www.faithbasefl.org. Or the other alternative is to call our administrative offices at 772-223-2399 and ask to speak with one of our development officers, who will be glad to share with you how you can become a donor to Safe Space, a volunteer to Safe Space, or help us in any other way that may become a viable way of working together.
And that's really exceptional. And I particularly would like, we have a few minutes left in this segment, Teresa, and I would like for you to talk about the specific event coming up that you'd like folks to know about.
So we are very excited that we are celebrating our 10th anniversary of holding our annual Walk a Mile in Her Shoes event. And this is a very special event because this is a moment wherein we ask the community to come together and join us in two distinct celebrations. On October 9th, during Sunset Saturday at Vero Beach, we're going to have a Walk a Mile in Her Shoes event. And the second one will be on November 13th, along with the Stewart Air Show in Martin County. And the concept of Walk a Mile in Her Shoes is men wearing red stilettos that we certainly can provide as they join this event, to as a symbolic gesture, right, of how difficult it is to walk in a woman's shoes, especially when she's undergoing a situation of domestic abuse. Amen. But we don't require that everybody wear stilettos. We also provide red shoe covers for those who want to use that alternative. But the important thing is that we have the ability for folks to help us raise funds so that we can continue doing the God's work that we do every single day in helping hundreds and hundreds of adults and children victims of domestic violence through sponsorships and through individual participant tickets. But we need you to be present so that we can all recognize and speak very loudly about how we live in this beautiful area of the Treasure Coast, how we relate and talk about it as a paradise. But in fact, we are facing some very serious rising incidents of domestic abuse. And I know that you have heard in the media about the recent issue in Jupiter Farms of domestic abuse and a 23-year-old woman losing her life. Yeah. And also the national case of Gabby Petito now that is very prominent in national news. So this is a real issue that we are facing, and we need to come together to talk about it very loudly so that we all recognize that domestic violence has been a pandemic way before the COVID outbreak, and that we have a responsibility, a moral duty, to do everything we can to eradicate domestic abuse and to help the victims of domestic violence.
Amen. I can't add any more to that, but amen. And Teresa, we're almost out of time, but before we move on to our next segment, I would like to ask you again to give us contact information for Safe Space of the Treasure Coast. The phone number, the website, and again, the dates for these two upcoming events. Please.
Absolutely. So we are going to be celebrating Walk a Mile in Her Shoes on October 9th in Vero Beach, and also in Martin County on November 13th along with the air show. More information can be found or accessed at our website, www.safespacesl.org, or by calling our administrative offices at 772-223-2399.
Wow, Teresa, thank you so much for taking the time to join us today. We look forward to our next opportunity of talking to you. And we're just saying, we be blessed, and you know that you're in our prayers, and the Safe Space, wonderful work that you do. God bless you.
Thank you so much. God bless you all as well, and thank you for the opportunity to be here with you today.
Thank you, Teresa. God bless you and the work that you do. From all of us here at WCNO, blessings.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Goodbye.
Wow.
And again, another great guest, David.
Absolutely. You know, we've been blessed. The Lord has led us to so many, just a variety of people who are doing his work.
Tremendous.
And we're getting to know them and share that knowledge with other people. And because people are hearing about them and they're keeping them in their prayers, everything, God's work is advancing in a powerful way.
It is indeed.
Amen.
It is indeed. Now, do we have anything at all out of the mailbag today? Do we have anything? Karen, do you have anything? No.
Yes.
You do. Okay.
Does,
yeah. Okay.
Actually,
what do you have?
We had an email that came in. Okay. Not an email. I guess they sent this through the website.
Website. Okay.
So this came in Friday at 11:20 p.m.
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 Not a.m., p.m.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's like way after my bedtime.
Yeah.
After your bedtime.
Yeah.
It should be after mine, too.
Right.
So it was actually a prayer request, and this is from Peggy. And she said, I am at Tent America, the 30 hours of praise and worship. We are in need of water and treats for children ASAP. Hmm. And so we just want to let Peggy know that nobody was here at 11:20 p.m.
No.
Otherwise, we would have been able to respond to that.
Right.
So we hope that you got the water that you needed.
For your kids. And we heard the event was a tremendous, tremendous time of prayer.
Yes.
I heard many great praise reports.
They really enjoyed it over
so.
There.
Thank you to all of you who participated in that. And if we had a little more time, you know, once we get into prayer and share, we'll have time for some more testimonies in regards to some of these things. But as far as this morning, we have Ma and Paul here in the studio, and we need to give them a little opportunity to speak to us today. Mm-hmm. So, well, Ma and Paul enjoy living near a small town. They know a lot of the residents. It's a short drive to all their shopping and professional needs. They experience a certain comfort that comes from familiarity with the area and the people. Of great importance to them is the conviviality they have with most of their neighbors. Christians are often challenged. I'm not going to tell why we're all laughing here today, but Christians are often challenged by the bad behavior of others. Scripture tells us we are to love our neighbors. Sometimes, however, the love comes a little later, after we have licked our wounds and asked God for his compassionate grace. Ma and Pa are kind of in that place right now, wounded and seeking divine guidance after having a very painful encounter with Ethel Hammerschmidt. She's the wife of the wealthiest businessman in the area, Orland Hammerschmidt. Coming from the lower middle class, Ethel is proud of her current station in life, and she manages to remind everyone of her elevated status. She fits the description of someone who is large and in charge. She and her husband are at the center of the social life of Bickers Corner. They're also members of Ma and Paul's church, Bickers Corner Community Church. Because Ma and Paul find that their Christian character is heavily assaulted when they're around Ethel, they tend to avoid any encounters. However, today they had a surprising and painful run-in with her when Ma and Paul went into Clara's Elegance for Ladies, a clothing store. Now back home, they proceed and process their experience.
I am sure glad to be back home. That old Ethel Hammerschmidt is something else, ain't she?
Oh, you can say that again, Pa. I ain't never met such a prideful woman in my life. Every time we're together in the same place, she seems to take pleasure in making me feel small and unimportant.
Ma, she does that to everybody. Well, she's one of them narcissists.
That's narcissist, Pa. And you're right about that.
You know, we'd never run into her if you hadn't wanted to go into that store in the first place.
Well, I needed some, well, you know, ladies, undergarments.
Yeah, I know what they are. Why, you got them hanging all over the bathroom. You know, when we were first married, I thought they grew there and you just harvested them as needed.
Well, anyway, we were there in the neighborhood of Clara's, and it made good sense to stop in and look around.
I get that, Ma. But you know, I ain't never been real comfortable in stores like that. I mean, there ain't nothing but ladies' clothes and women wandering around, yakking at each other, and the sound of hangers clack, clack, clacking as they flip through the merchandise.
I know it ain't your favorite place, Pa, but I want you there if I try on a dress or a blouse, you know, because I value your opinion.
I'm honored that you think I know enough to judge your appearance, but you know, it takes every ounce of strength I have to just keep from running out of that store and hiding out in my truck. I mean, why couldn't you just do a video call on your cell phone and show me it that way?
Oh, Pa, that ain't the same. You've got to be there. That's all. And especially today when we ran into Ethel Hammerschmidt.
Well, yeah. Being your husband, that makes me your protector, too. I had on my spiritual armor, but it sure took a beating. Well, like Paul wrote in Ephesians 6:16, those flaming darts are real.
I know, Pa. You know what scared me the most was when I was about to get into a fitting room, and old Ethel opened the door and walked out.
Yeah, I saw her and the temperature in the store went down about 50 degrees. She kind of floated out, didn't she? And she looked around the store, kind of like Queen Elizabeth does when she walks into a room, checking out her subjects.
Yeah, when I saw her, I knew we were in for a pitched spiritual battle, Pa. Her first words to me were, "So, they let folks like you shop in here?" And she had that smarmy smirk on her face. And then she said, "That dress you got in your hands probably looked better on a goat. And maybe that's what you're trying it on for, one of your mangy goats at that farm of yours."
Well, when she said that, Ma, my blood began to boil. I mean, I know for a fact that any of our goats would look good in that stunning dress.
Pa!
Sorry, Ma. I was just trying to inject some humor.
I'm surprised you can do that, especially after what she said about you. In fact, I was amazed you didn't react.
Didn't do what, Ma?
You didn't react. I was so surprised and amazed you didn't react after she called you a cow pie in overalls.
Yeah, I was trying to get that into my imagination. You know, at first I thought it might be some kind of compliment. You know, them cow pies make great fertilizer.
Well, she ain't one to give out compliments, and especially to folks she thinks are beneath her, which is pretty near everybody.
Yeah, I get that, Ma.
I was on the verge of losing my Christianity right then, Pa. I'm ashamed to admit it, but that woman's snooty pride almost got the best of me.
But she didn't win, did she? I mean, I figured we were both praying and asking for an emergency issue of God's grace.
That's right, Pa. And I remember Jesus saying to love our enemies. And right then and there, we were both facing that strong spirit of pride.
Oh, I know it, Ma. And he done give you a heap of grace right then. I love what you said to her. "Well, Ethel, I really appreciate that you give me your opinion. And I got to tell you, that dress you're wearing will be the hit of the costume party. Why, you look like a barber pole on steroids and all."
Well, I could have kept that part about the barber pole out of my comment, but Jesus did keep me from slicing and dicing that I'm capable of doing.
Oh, for sure, Ma. I remember our early years before Jesus got in your heart. Well, you could really cut people down to size. That's why everybody called you the samurai tongue.
I know, but that's not a good witness, Pa. Even though folks like Ethel seem to love putting other folks down every chance they get, I tried to do what God's word says in Matthew 5:39, "But I say unto you, do not resist the one who is evil. But if anyone slaps you on the right cheek, turn to him the other also." But Pa, I don't think I fully accomplished that today.
Oh, Ma, you did your best from my point of view. You got close to turning the other cheek, so to speak. Had I not kept my mouth shut, I'd have sinned for sure. And now that we done talked about this some, you know, I believe we can hold this up to the Lord for His strength. The next time, and let's face it, there's gonna be a next time, we can give it even more godly witness.
Oh, thanks for your support, Pa. And you're right. Next time, she's gonna only see Jesus.
I know it, Ma, but you know.
What is so funny?
I'm just getting a picture in my mind of a barber pole on steroids.
Well, I think we all can relate to Ma and Paul's experience. There will always be people who get in our faces and challenge our faith and Christian lifestyle. Being able to witness to Christ during these attacks is the ideal response. We are all a work in progress, and each challenge makes us stronger. Be strong in Jesus today, and He will enable you to lift Him up while He brings the devil down. Hmm. Great advice.
Amen.
Great advice. Well, isn't it great to have Mom and Paul as a part of our family and to come along and share with us some of their great wisdom? And I think I'm going to have to ask Paul how the chickens are doing. Haven't heard much out of them in a while. And I mean, about them in a while. Just wondering how they're doing.
Yeah, well, he'll have a report for you. And I know they're going to be here for prayer and share.
Well, that's good, and that's coming right up here in just a few days. I want to remind you again that prayer and share is getting ready to happen, and that is the time that we come to you and just open up the phones. We're in here from 6 o'clock in the morning or 7 o'clock in the morning until 6 o'clock at night. Let me get that right.
Yes,
7
please get that
a.m.
right.
until 6 p.m. We'll get that right.
6. The alarms were going off in my head.
Well, you know, in the past, I actually did kind of crawl in here early at 6 and did a little devotional stuff. But this year, we're going to be here at 7 a.m. until 6 p.m. in the evening. And we are looking forward to having each one of you join us during those days. And of course, everyone should have received, or most of our listeners should have received, a mail out by now. We did send out quite a few, didn't we?
Yeah. Yes, quite a few.
Over 5,000.
And so there's a response card. Karen, tell us how that works and what we would like to hear from people.
Yes, if you received your letter with the response card and a return envelope, if you'd like to fill that out, send your donation in.
That would be awesome.
Yes, check or money order, you can do that. If you would just like to make a pledge, also you can check the box there that you'd just like to make a pledge of a certain amount and send that back in as well. Or you could go to the website, you can make a donation. If you'd like to text a donation, you can do that. And, you know, your early response will help us to get the show on the road. And
keep the show on the road.
The show on the road, yeah.
Get us, you know, moving towards that goal that we have.
Well, it's delightful talking with one of our business partners that is going to be coming on air. We're going to have some additional spots from their business here shortly, I believe. But was talking about making $1,000 donation. And, of course, if you own a business or you're in business or you retired from a business, anyone can make a $1,000 donation. But, you know, David, this last the last few prayer and shares, we've had more and more business owners who are currently in business who have been blessed of the Lord and have called in and made a $1,000 donation. And we want you to know, if you do that, we're going to work out a package to give some promotion to your business if you so desire. And we call that a business partnership. And of course, we have churches that make donations as well. And mm-hmm. we are blessed by that, sort of like home missions, you know, recognizing that. And if as a church you are interested in being a part of this ministry, you recognize the importance of it, then that would be a blessing also. But I would like to encourage everyone to start praying now. God, what would you have me give? And how can I be a blessing to WCNO during prayer and share? Amen. And of course, the number to reach us here is 888-221-8990. That is 888-221-8990. And Dave, you were talking about the text. They can text as well.
Yes, you can text WCNO to 24365. And then you can use a bank card, you know, debit or credit card,
sure,
to make a donation. You can add comments too, I believe.
You can donate online if you want to do that. Yeah. You can send back in a check if you prefer to do it that way. But we do look